Well, good morning. Hello to everybody. I hope you're having a fantastic start to your day. I'm Aaron Nagler, Cheesehead TV in the house on the Green Bay Packers' 101st birthday. So happy birthday to the Green Bay Packers, bringing us all together. 18 lost souls here right at the launch. Good to see everybody. Joey the Jaguar, what's up? Travis, how are you? Anthony, go Pack, go. Pogs, morning. Big B's in the house. Always good to see Big B. Checking in. Jamal Williams being the GOAT. I get it, man. Good morning, Corey Mansky. How are you, buddy? Good to see you. How about that Jair Alexander availability yesterday? Talk about carrying the G. I love that man. Love that man. The supreme confidence in yourself. That's what I'm talking about. Frank, do you see the Packers running more tight formations to eliminate press man cover zero or spreading it out to better identify what coverage they're in and show the hand of a defense? As always, Frank, I think they'll mix it up. I do think LaFleur prefers more condensed formations. He's talked about that a lot, and the tape certainly bears that out. I actually think they'll run more condensed stuff, not only for the reason you're citing there as far as an ability to get make it a little bit more difficult for the defense to press guys, especially Devontae. But I love how they utilize the jet motion when they're condensed to then kind of widen out guys and give the linebackers and the safeties a lot to think about, perhaps creating a few false steps and then going vertical out of condensed. I love that stuff. That's something obviously they didn't do a whole lot under McCarthy, and it's something you've seen quite a bit of, and I think we'll see more of under LaFleur. Can we use the franchise tag on Kevin King next year? Nicholas, that's a possibility. Absolutely. I would be surprised. The Packers traditionally have shied away from using tags on the franchise level. Maybe a transition tag. Even that, though, I'd be surprised. But yes, it is certainly a tool at their disposal. And again, as we talked about yesterday, Kevin has to have another healthy season. And if he's able to do that, I think he'll be very productive. And that will definitely make him enticing on the open market if he hits it. So yeah, the Packers absolutely could use the franchise tag. But again, they haven't really utilized it a whole lot throughout their history. Now, you could argue they haven't really had players in need of utilizing it with. They've done a good job of getting guys extended prior to needing to slap a franchise tag on somebody. So again, yeah, I'd be surprised if they went that route, but it is certainly a possibility. ATH underscore TR. That just rolls off the tongue. Thanks for the super chat. I love everything the Packers have done this offseason, but why is it never go after cheap free agents? They are already proven. Is it a pride thing? Well, I think that's exactly what they did when they signed Funchess, isn't it? I'm not really sure your question here. And if they do end up actually announcing and signing Malik Turner, that would be another example of a cheap free agent who has done something, to use your words. Just because you know names and there are free agents who have been on other teams, the Packers take a lot of pride and or value the program that they have created and bringing guys through that program. Famously under Ted Thompson, you know, later in his tenure, they had that stat where they had, I think, one guy who had been spent or two guys who had spent time in other locker rooms. There was a stretch there. It's just how they want to build their team, how Brian Gutekunst wants to go about it. And look, I understand the frustration, but you can't look at 2018 when he goes out and signs four free agents and then say a year later, oh, he never does it. He certainly has shown that if circumstances dictate, he will go out and get guys. Now, obviously, that was a very different situation than we saw this offseason. But again, I think if he sees somebody that he deems worthy slash able to come in and augment and or help the team, he's going to go do it, but he's not going to do it just because it's a name, somebody we've heard, etc. And often, look, every offseason we go through this where guys get cut from other teams a year or 2 years into a free agency deal, a deal that was touted and trumpeted as this great signing where it doesn't really work out. And, you know, the free agency waters are full of missteps and sharks and problems. Whereas if you draft a guy and bring him up through your program, you're probably going to get a lot more out of him than you are a free agent. Now, again, it's not a blanket thing, but more often than not, you're much better off because you've got that guy locked up for 4 years at least on what is a very team-friendly wage. So that's, I think, you know, a big reason why they skew that way. But, yeah, I don't think he's adverse to it in any way, shape, or form. What's the magic number now for active game day roster to account for COVID? Game day, I still think, I want to say 46. As I said to Brian yesterday, okay, these things seem to change all the time. I know they've got an expanded practice squad. They're up to 16 players that they can move up and down week in and week out. But as far as the game day, it's 46 or 47, right around there. Sign Everson Griffin. Mitchell, I don't think that's going to happen, but we know that the Packers made a call. They have certainly let their interest be known. As we've said often here, I think that's pretty clearly a leverage play by the agent, but you never know. We'll see. I know the Seahawks were also interested. So if there's a bidding war that forms, you can pretty much count the Packers out on that one. Today, yes, the Packers were born, Jennifer. That is correct. Happy birthday to the Packers. Za'Darius Smith, marijuana possession charge going to affect him, or is the new rule going to leave it alone? Well, Brendan, he would have fallen under the possibility of discipline. It probably still does because the transgression happened under the old CBA. However, the marijuana possession charge was dropped. I think he still had some kind of misdemeanor charge. I think the speeding stuck, but the marijuana charge was dropped a couple days ago. So hopefully he's in the clear. Now, the problem is with Goodell, you never know. I mean, we've seen guys get suspended who had charges dropped or were never even charged. Now, I think in those cases, the transgressions were a lot more serious, but you never really know. So hopefully we get to the kickoff of week one and we put it behind us, but you never really know. The D-line will be the same as last year. Not strictly true, David. Trayvon Hester signing, I think he will play a little bit more than maybe people realize or expect. And I think Kingsley Keke is going to play a bunch more over Tyler Lancaster. At least that's my hope. And I think they're counting on a lot of those kind of developmental guys to come along. Obviously, Montrevious Adams is a guy that you do wonder if he's going to make the squad. But, yeah, I don't think it's going to be exactly the same. Similar, no doubt about it, but there are some changes. Evan says, if Jair continues trending upward like he has, what kind of contract do you see the Packers giving him, assuming he stays healthy? Has to be one of the higher paid corners in the league, right? Evan, absolutely. I would suspect, clearly, I don't think that's something that is going to be foremost on the to-do list right now. But you can bet sooner rather than later, they're going to start talking extension with Jair. I'd be absolutely shocked if he was not a Packer for his second contract. You love Keke. John, that is correct. I do love Keke. I think it's an absolute crime that he wasn't on the field more often last year. Sue me. Need snacks. Danny, I'm with you, man. I've been saying it all offseason. And, you know, according to Ross Uglum, they made him an offer. But again, as I've said often here, I'd be very surprised if he plays in 2020. Sure sounds like he's debating whether to do so or not. Probably has his pick from a few teams, but I'm hoping, but hope is not a plan. What else we got here, folks? Rewatched bits of the NFC Championship watch party. What? The lifeless stare Corey kept giving the camera haunts me. Yeah, try living with it. That's my guy, Corey Banky. Always bringing the heat. Oh, here we go. Joe's Home Theater, thanks for the super chat. What's your favorite Charles Woodson moment? I mean, there are so many. Obviously, you can look at the big plays. You can look at the pick sixes, the big sacks. There is a sack strip fumble against the Cowboys that I absolutely love back in, I think it was 2009, where after he strips it, and literally people are still trying to fall on the ball, and Woodson's mugging for the fans, like, what's up? I'm the man. All of those are great, but I think I've talked about this before. The greatest play, my favorite play, I won't say the greatest, but my favorite play he ever made in a Packers uniform was on a nationally televised game against the Ravens, where the Ravens were down by the goal line, and they tried to run left, and Woodson, like, flies like Superman across the line of scrimmage and cuts down running back in the backfield. It is at one of the greatest plays from a safety I've ever seen. It's phenomenal. Thanks for the super chat, man. Brian, thank you for the super chat. Jenkins, future Pro Bowler, carry the effing G. Man, I'm with you, man. Offensive line is a tough spot to get in to the Pro Bowl. Like, look no further than David Bakhtiari, who, you know, was a three-time All-Pro and couldn't make it, but eventually did. But once he cracks it, yeah, he'll be there probably for his career. That kid, the sky is the limit, no doubt about it. How does the draft look next year if there is no college football, Jared? That is a big concern, obviously. We did talk to Brian Gutekunst about that yesterday. I mean, more often than not, you guys talk about the importance of the tape, right? And there will be no tape for the most part. Now, who knows how it plays out? I know the SEC seems adamant that they're going to play. Maybe the Pac-12 goes along. Sure sounds like the Big Ten is going to shut it down. But none of that is done yet. None of that is set. But regardless, it is going to be different. And no doubt that 2018 tape, for whatever it's worth, is going to be poured over. But yeah, I think the scouts really got their work cut out for them. There's no question. And the scouting combine takes on greater importance. And I know people are dismissive of the combine because it's just drill work, etc. But it is ultimately important for scouts, for teams, franchise to sit down with these guys, get one-on-one. I would think there would probably be expanded access at the combine if there is no college football season. That would make sense because they have nothing else to go on. And I think it's really going to hurt is teams that need quarterbacks. I mean, we all talk about the Packers taking Jordan Love and why they make the move now. And of course, they didn't know this at the time, but it's going to look pretty damn prescient if the college football season is shut down, because teams that need quarterbacks are going to be in a tough spot, having nothing to go off of from 2020 and having to fly blind with 2018 and 2019 tape. Did you see Bill Barnwell's piece on ESPN about projected wins? Thoughts? I found it interesting, although stat-centric. Well, you know, that's Bill's writing to a T. But, yeah, I think I've said it all offseason. In the latest episode of Nagler's Never Right, which is up for Patreons on the Patreon page, Maggie and I talked about this. I have zero question this will be a better football team with a worse record. Going 13-3 is a tough expectation. Are they capable of it? No question about it. But a lot has to go right. Last year, they were very healthy. They won the turnover battle more often than not. They were great in the red zone on both sides of the ball. For all of that to break again, the way it needs to go 13-3 or even better, it's a tall order. So, yeah, I read Bill's piece. I think, you know, he's spot on some stuff. Other stuff, not so much. But, yeah, I think anybody who's looking at it, kind of trying to anyway, dispassionately, will tell you, yeah, there's a good chance that they, quote unquote, regress record-wise. But again, I think they will be a better team, especially if the development happens on both sides of the ball, really, when it comes to their, not only 2019 class, but 2018. They got to get something out of guys like Josh Jackson, Oren Burks, etc. So, but really, the 2019 draft class is where it has to happen. Jay Sternberger, Rashawn Gary, Darnell Savage, those guys got to step up. And if they do, they should be a better football team. Sorry, guys, you can hear my neighbor cutting the grass. Shout out to that guy. 10:13 a.m., though, I mean, that's not a foul, right? I mean, at least he waited until 10 a.m. I mean, there's some people who are up at 7 a.m. cutting their grass, and those people. So many questions. That's what we got here. You see more potential for injuries across so it moves so fast. You see more potential for injuries across the league with a shortened offseason? Yes, 100%. Now, that said, that is a big reason the NFLPA pushed for this acclimation period prior to their getting on the field and doing things in pads, etc., is because after the lockout and the shortened offseason or truncated offseason back in 2011, you know, there were studies done that showed a lot more injuries, soft tissue stuff, muscle pulls, etc. So they wanted to ensure that they at least mitigated that. Of course, it's football, so you're never going to turn off injuries like you can in Madden. And I don't doubt for a second that we'll see a few more injuries than normal because they haven't been on the field. They haven't been working out in a football environment. And now they're going to be pushed because they've got basically, what, 20 days less than that to get ready in pads for a week one game. What's the scouting report on the receiver picked up yesterday? Well, I'll read it for you. How about that action? Sorry, guys. Travis Fulham. They got him off waivers from Detroit. He went to school at Old Dominion. He was a six-round pick for the Lions. He was incredibly productive his senior year at Old Dominion. He had a monster game against Virginia Tech where they had a big upset. He hauled in 9 receptions for 188 yards and a touchdown. He's big. He's physical. He's not very fast. He runs a slow-ass 40. He's got a 4.58 40. So that tells you that he's a Packers wide receiver. I mean, do the Packers have a type or do they have a type? Big, physical, slow dudes. That's what they like. That's what they always go after, and he is no different. Cut that grass. I'm sorry, guys. I can't control my neighbors. Who catches more passes from 12 this season more consistently, MVS or Touchdown Jesus? MVS. I'm going to be surprised if Kumerow makes the squad. Don't hate me for saying it. You guys know I love me some Touchdown Jesus, but I think it's MVS. Spencer, what a memory. I remember right after we won XLV, my Boy Scout troop had an overnighter in the Packer Hall of Fame. What timing. I slept in the trophy room, all 4 Lombardis above me. Here's hoping to get a 5th. I mean, I'm all for the 5th Lombardi trophy. I want a 14th tree in Harlan Plaza. They have the 13 trees planted there, 1 for each championship. I want a 14th tree. That's where I'm at. How do you feel about Turner? The talent seems to be there, just needs to clean up the drops. Lewis, I agree. Obviously, referencing Malik Turner, who the Packers should be signing here in a couple days, or at least make official that they're signing. Yeah, he's intriguing. You know, they had him in back in 2018 for a tryout. He was with the Seahawks last year. You're right. He does struggle a bit with drops. He had a brutal drop against the Packers in the divisional game. But that said, he's kind of lightning in a bottle with the ball in his hands. He run after the catch is his forte. So if you can just secure the catch, he should be somebody who you can kind of bring into the mix. Now, we'll see. Because of the fact that there hasn't been an on-the-field offseason, maybe that helps him. It's going to be interesting to see how they divvy up the reps. But, yeah, I'm all for it, man. What else we got here? Oh, 1265 fan, thanks for the super chat. Fans should record a 2 to 3 minute video cheering, and the teams could use these videos to not only put fans in the seats, but to use the sound too. I'm down with that. I don't know if you've watched Premier League at all, but they've done an amazing job. NBC has of incorporating kind of fan cams into their broadcast. They have fans watching and, you know, recording themselves as they do it. And then after a goal, they cut to the fans, kind of a multi-split screen going berserk. I think that's a great idea, a way to bring people, fans, into the broadcast without having them in the stands, obviously. I would suspect some of the networks to try and do that. I don't know what the Packers have planned, but I love that idea. Absolutely. How much is it going to take to keep Alexander? Keep him at all costs. It's going to take a lot. He's going to get paid, no doubt about it. But that's a problem for next year. We got enough to worry about this year. Where do you see EQ fitting in this season? Can he be the X wideout, or is he too tall? No, I think he can. I think they'll utilize him all over the place. But I do think he'll be utilized in the slot probably a little more than people expect. You go back and you watch his rookie year. He played some snaps in the slot, and he looked damn good doing it. And every time that Aaron Rodgers, Matt LaFleur, whoever we talk to, talks about the receiving core, you always hear Devontae, Alan Lazard, and then EQ gets brought up. It's always, we're really happy to have EQ back. And I think he's going to be in the mix a lot. Now, of course, he hasn't been on the field in this system yet, but I think it suits him. I think he's a willing blocker, which is the A number one to get on the field under Matt LaFleur if you're not Devontae Adams. So, yeah, I'm excited for him. I think he can play all over the place. Will broadcast pump in fan noise? I think it's going to be different for every network, but I suspect yes. We'll see. Like the video, cheeseheads. Jared, thank you very much. Yeah, hit like. Hit subscribe. Top 15 to 20 in special teams with Irvin at returner all season. I hope so, Silas. Man, he really provided a spark. And you got to think, they were on pace to be historically horrible prior to his arrival. So I love that 15, top 20 to 15 is our, I mean, don't shoot too high. That's about right. I'm down with that. It's 10:30 and I want a spotted cow. Too much, Brian? I am right there with you. But right now, I'm drinking my coffee. What else we got here? Corey coming to camp with you? If not, who will make you old fashions? Jason, no. Yeah, Corey's going to be around. I probably won't see him a whole lot. He is in Wisconsin at the moment, and I think he'll be there throughout the time I'm in camp. But because of the protocols in place, I'll probably be using his yard maybe to go live for some like wrap-up chats at the end of the day after practice, etc. But I won't be hanging out too much. I probably won't be seeing many people outside of practice. And even at practice, I have to keep distanced. I'll see my folks. I'll see Corey. That's about it. It's going to be a good time. Jamal Williams is the GOAT. There it is, Big B. How you doing, buddy? Brandon, how do you feel about Chandon Sullivan? I really like his athleticism. I think he showed a lot last year. I think they're very much counting on him to take up where Tremont Williams left off. And that's, you know, obviously you wish Tremont well. I understand fans clamoring to bring him back, and I understand that he probably would help them. But Chandon is ready to take that next step. They're going to let that guy develop. I think the sky's the limit. I really do. I think, and not only as a corner, but I think he can play some safety. I think he's a little bit of a hybrid, and I love his ability to diagnose things. He's got just great awareness, and yeah, I'm cautiously optimistic. Let's put it that way. Mike Daniels to the Bengals. Good to see him on a team, injury-free and ready to contribute. I agree, Spencer. Saw that yesterday. Happy for Mike. I understood lots of Packer fans this offseason because of the problems on run defense last year, asking to bring him back. Don't think that was ever in the cards, but yeah, definitely happy to see him on a roster. Hey, Aaron, cornerback in round one next year. Book it. It's a possibility, Timo. No doubt about it. All right, guys, I got to go. Thank you so much for joining me. Please, I beg you, hit like on this video, subscribe to the channel, and if you really want to support what we do at Cheesehead TV, please consider giving us $5 a month on our Patreon, patreon.com/cheeseheadTV. It really helps. In the meantime, hit like, hit subscribe, tell your friends, tell your family, Cheesehead TV. We are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great day. Go Pack Go.